of your kind offer, but my immediate reaction, this is Steve Crocker speaking, is that sounds great. Anything that packages things up and makes it easier for us to navigate will be a big help.
Thank you, and maybe we can make this an action item. So I'll ask for Heidi to write that down. Thank you. So I'll also go through the list of the at-large suggested topics, first one being JAS Working Group outcomes, the second one being the ATRT Phase 2 implementation, the third one being the 2012-2015 strategic plan, and the fourth one being the board view on handling pressure to reform. I realize that we only have probably less than 45 minutes left to discuss these, so it's a very full agenda. Perhaps may I suggest that the 2012-2015 strategic plan is discussed during our lunch that we will have, I believe, tomorrow as one of the subjects that we will discuss, although I think the format tomorrow will be pretty open. I know that you have a lot of people coming to you to ask for things and to pick your brain, and perhaps lunch sometimes is a time when you can eat and not have to constantly push back on the demands that are put upon you. So perhaps we can start with the JAS Working Group, because I see that this is a subject that is shared by both the board's agenda and the ALAC's agenda. And we see it as the JAS Working Group outcomes, and you seeing it as how would you like the ALAC, how would the ALAC like the board to consider their advice? I was just going to answer one question to start the discussion off and then pass the floor to my colleague Carlton Samuels, who is one of the co-chairs of the JAS Working Group. The question that Steve yesterday that you asked initially in the list of questions that you had, which was to do with the fee reduction and the fact that the fee is actually a very small part of the amount of funding that you need to run a new GTLD if you are going to do such a thing. I think that one answer which has not been provided to you regarding that was that in the document, in the JAS Working Group final report, there is a whole section about in-kind support. And definitely in-kind support is one of these things that alleviates the additional costs into running a GTLD. In-kind support being sponsorship or reduction of costs with regards to running all of the technical side of running a GTLD. I'm sure there will be some systems that will be built, and we've heard from the community already, from some potential sponsors, that they would be willing to offer in-kind support. Rod?
Yes, just to let you know, that website or those pages went up last week on the website. So if you go to the new GTLD website, I'm not sure which button it is, but there is already a site where you can both apply for assistance or state your request for assistance or state that you want to provide assistance and of what type. So, and it's just a simple structured database that has information about each of the parties. And it's largely open and waiting for the community. So we hope that parties will dive in and use it, but it is up and running.
Yes, Sebastian.
Yeah, just to add to Rod, it's already populated with, I guess, something like 10 to 15 requests and proposal of help. Then it's a good beginning.
I'd say it's a very good beginning, because I was only looking at it like 5 days ago when it seemed like it was blank. So I think that it's great that people are responding and getting in, and please do so.
Thank you very much. And so we have reviewed this page, and we're very happy that it has come up so fast in such a timely manner before this whole meeting has started here in Dakar. This clearly shows that the fee reduction or any of the other proposals in the JAS Working Group final report are just a set of measures to take one additional hurdle out of the way for a bigger inclusion of applications from all around the world rather than just a smaller subset of the world. But I shall pass the floor to my colleague Carlton Samuels to perhaps either answer some of your questions which might have not been answered during the session yesterday, or engage in a broader dialogue with the JAS Working Group and with the board. Thank you. Carlton.
Thank you, Chair. Carlton Samuels, for the record. I am going to make an attempt to answer, to bring together the two sides of the question. It is, what is the expectation from the at-large about the Jazz, and what we expect, or what the board wants to hear from us, what it is we think we need to do. We have completed the work. A lot of people of goodwill have spent a lot of time and energies in making some recommendations. I guess what we need, since we are time compressed, is a decision point from the board to the recommendations. So we would like to see that as quickly as possible. That triggers to some other downstream work. And the first one, which we hope is going to start fairly rapidly thereafter, and that is an implementation plan. And of course, we're going to depend on staff to put together an implementation plan. At the point of getting the flag to begin the implementation planning, we are also concerned that the possible beneficiaries would need to know about the program and what the board has decided. So there's going to have to be a marketing and an outreach operation that will spread the word to the global community. And yesterday, in talking to Scott Pinson, we note that the outreach and operations is still in park, principally because the budget situation has not been sorted out. So we would hope that, coincident with the decision by the board, the staff under Scott could get on the road and put the operation, marketing and outreach operation, in high gear. This will also send a signal to the community, and when I say community, I mean a global community, that they could participate in some areas. You heard our friends from the business constituency mentioned that they would be keen to participate in the outreach to ensure that as many persons who need to have the information get it through their own channels. And that is a challenge, and it's also to the board, because they're looking for signals to begin to do that in a positive way. There's one other thing that I would like to probably emphasize. And we cannot underestimate the role that a positive signal from the board will send to the entire community. And we want to ensure that when the signal goes out, everybody sees the flag and start the run. Even before that, however, there is a sense that some preparatory work on the staff side might be approached, and we wish to see something happen there. One of the most important things in the recommendation is for a guide to be produced by staff. And we're talking about a guide that has the quality and the content which looks like the applicant guidebook. So we are asking for a support guidebook of the same quality and heft as the generic guidebook, GTLD guidebook. So it's very important for the signal to begin with board action. We trust that it is going to be positive on all fronts. And then the signal to the global community for action is where it begins. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Carlton. Any questions from the floor? Oh, sorry. Well, it's difficult to see you. Sebastian.
Yes, Sebastian Bachelet. I wanted to make one point. When we raised this issue, it was a few weeks ago. We are now in a very different situation. You put a lot of effort to produce a final report. You presented to the community yesterday, very good, with answering the question from the floor, including a lot of board members, then I am not sure that you will be able to add something before we as board came back to you with some answer or some proposal or some idea or some acceptance or whatever we will do as board. Then I suggest that we leave this topic now, because you are not outside of the work done by the jazz group. You are really in the heart of that. And we I guess the board member know now what is your thinking, where you want I can go with that subject. And I need to tell you that we are taking that very seriously as a whole board, and we have a team working on that, led by Chris Despain, and with some board member on this team to come with some proposal, idea, and decision. I can't commit to any decision this week, but decision quick will be taken. And I suggest that we go ahead to the next subject, because this one it's really very well handled by you yesterday, and we understand all your point, I guess. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Sebastian. Cheryl?
Thank you, Olivier. It's Cheryl Langdonor for the transcript record. And the reason I am speaking at this point is we need to recognise, and the board members need to be aware, that the JAS workgroup, as we have now found out, operated under an error of information. In a particular example of a very long debate on the business constituency's concern on bundling, the JAS workgroup was informed that it was not GNSO policy to go along those lines. We have had all sorts of people digging in all sorts of records in all sorts of places, and they have assured us that, in fact, this is one of those mythologies that has appeared from someone saying it very positively somewhere, and it became enshrined. It is not fact, so I need to clear the record. Would it have changed the outcome? Probably not. But we did operate under what I would call a misnomer, which raises a systemic issue that the board may wish to consider, and that is perhaps the role of staff or someone in work groups of this importance to fact check, to ensure that what is going on the table and is affecting our debate is in fact accurate, because this is an error that should not have occurred and I trust will never occur in the future. To that end, I do want to apologise for my statement publicly yesterday. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Cheryl. Steve?
Thank you very much, Cheryl. I got the general sense, but I'm not sure I followed the specific. In capsule form, just to make sure we understood where the what was the error, and what are the fact, and you know, without the history.
Certainly, at yesterday's forum, the business constituency came forward and made the point that they had to abstain in the GNSO vote. One of the critical issues was bundling with IDNs was not considered positively by the JAS workgroup. One of the influences on the outcome of that debate was the information we had been given that was in fact not able to be pursued because of GNSO policy. Those policies have been checked. It is not the case. So we operated under incorrect information.
Thank you for the clarification. Much appreciated.
Thank you very much, Steve. Just a couple more words from Tijani, and then we'll move to the next subject.
Thank you, Olivier. I will speak in French for the diversity.
I already heard many times be repeated that the cost of the application is just a very small part of what the candidate would need to have his register run. I think that this yes, it is a part, but it's not a small part. It's a considerable amount. And what we propose in the report the report is not perfect, but I think that we thought about everything. We put everything in the report. Also, we gave requirement limits for the person who is asking for it to be able to help for the one who does not have any help, no support. Considering the ongoing fees, we also have planned the case where we could use a register operator for more than one demand. So I think that the question that we could ask is that what is in the report is not sufficient, and the person who would help would not just close his register right afterwards. Thank you.
From Evan Lipovich, who was on the drafting team. Very brief, Evan, please.
Very brief. And the only reason I'm saying this is because there was a request from the board to us to consider the question of how would ALAC like the board to consider their advice. And I wanted to deal with that very specifically and very briefly. And just to let you know and remind you that the concept of applicant support has been something that has been a cornerstone of ALAC and at large's advice on the issue of new GTLDs going back to the summit and before. The communique, in fact, we had out of the summit dealt specifically with this issue. It has been a main part of it, and in the question of how do you want us to consider your advice, consider the fact that this has been as important to us in the implementation of the GTLD program as anything else we've been dealing with.
Thank you very much, Evan, and we'll move to the next subject, which is the CEO search. What qualities does the ALAC think we ought to be seeking in a new CEO? What we're going to do is to open a wiki page with a new consultation process in at large and ask our communities what they think. We will synthesize it and we will get back to you. Next topic, ethics guidelines. What are your top three concerns and proposals to address them?
I was afraid we wouldn't end in time. Now I'm afraid we're going to end early.
Steve, just as a reminder, at large collects the views of the Internet's users, and responding to such a question, as you rightly said, might take hours and hours because there are so many different views. So synthesizing it in a format that you will be able to digest and the board will be able to digest is something that we will do, and we will endeavor to have every single voice out there that we can collect and produce a document for you. So next, ethics guidelines. What are your top three concerns and proposals to address them? And for this subject, I propose that Jean-Jacques Subrenat, who is here on the table, provides some answers. Jean-Jacques.
Merci.
Thank you. I am Jean-Jacques Subrenat. I was a member of the board, and now I am on the board, on the committee of the users, ALAC. You know the work that has been done. You can find it very easily on the Internet site. I would like to limit my comments with logical remarks to and heighten the level. The difficulties is that there are two approaches, two challenges, first of all, for the whole community of the Internet. In the few years to come, what are the challenges? Everything that goes around protection of personal data, what concerns, of course, the respect of the civil rights, individual rights, etc. So it is also our obligation to think and to defend the public interest. But when it comes to ICANN, it is a bit different, since the duty of ICANN is more limited. ICANN has a technical task that is very defined, and it is then that dichotomy, this separation, this difference between the big plan, the big global idea that is very high for public interest, and on the other side, the task of ICANN. Cases have been known or could be known in the future that would concern the matter or the way of ethics, code of conduct, could be formulated and mostly implemented within ICANN. I have a small personal remark, a suggestion that comes from my experience in different roles that I had in the past. We cannot, we do not have time to reinvent the wheel. Associations around the world already exist that have defined the public interest, and the notion of in public interest needs to be defended, underlined in its conception, in its largest conception. Try to define in the proper vocabulary and pages of description what is or what is not public interest would go against the service that we should give to the public. I just wanted to make these few comments to maybe launch a discussion if our presidents would wish. Merci, Jean-Jacques.
For questions or comments from the board or from ELAC members? Katim. And a mic should fly in your direction, so watch out.
Working, it'd be so good.
Good afternoon, good morning, I should say. I know. No, but thanks very much, Olivier, and all of you ELAC members for inviting us. It's great to have you. It's always a pleasure to be amongst you, to hear your counsel and your perspectives. And this is precisely the reason for my intervention. I heard Sebastian say that we need not discuss the Just Working Group report because we've already gone over it. But my feeling is that we probably, in that case, should have probably done a better job of coordinating between the GAC and the board on exactly issues that we're going to talk about. In my opinion, we're here to listen, and so that means that you call the shots and tell us what you want us to talk about. It's not for us to tell you what we want to hear from you. And so I think I'll just humbly suggest that next time, let's try to coordinate these topics better so that at least we have a priori what issues are. And if we have any objections to what it is that you want to talk about, we can gently tell you before we come here. Rather than wait until we come here, you tell us this is the agenda and we say, no. I think that really doesn't help. Thank you.
Thank you, Katim. Next, Ray.
Ray Polzak for the Scribes. I hope I didn't misunderstand what Karim just said, but yes, we are here to listen. However, we do have interests in things that, so I certainly see it within our purview to ask you to comment to us about things, because there may be things that we are working on that we would like an input from the ALAC, and we don't want to wait till you become aware of the fact that we're working on it and then you generate a report. It is very important that when we are in this dialogue setting that we are capable of having this interchange. So, and I've been an advocate for some time of these kind of formats and so forth, and I'm actually pushing for this to continue in this form. And I'm also a strong advocate of having a coordinated agenda in advance where we both have items on there and we have a small number of items so we can carry on a decent conversation. So if that's agreeing with what he said, fine. If it's not, then you now have my opinion.
Thank you very much, Ray.
My personal opinion, and perhaps I should to answer Katim, in ELAC we're used to dialogue rather than just one-way communication. And so it's very difficult in our DNA to be just speaking and not listening. In fact, being on the at-large advisory committee, you spend more time listening than speaking. And so It's something which you're going to try to do. Well, if I try to do, it's going to be pretty hard. We're here to listen to the board as well, because we're sure that the board has many very interesting things and things that could help us in the direct face-to-face dialogue. So, any other comments, ALAC members or
Bertrand?
Merci.
Oui, ça marche.
Okay, it works. Hello, everyone. There is a topic on what Jean-Jacques talked about. Jean-Jacques said the public interest, global public interest. There was a debate, an important one, in Singapore, in one of the workshops, on what, how we can define public interest, or if we can't. I would like to share something and see in which, in how you perceive this question. At a national level, there is no definition of national public interest. Each country has governance processes, constitution, elaboration of laws. The system publishes this process at a national interest. In each country, even though it's not respected, the system is accepted. The system is the one that produces the laws or the rules. This is the national opinion that's expressed by this process. When we talk of global public interest within ICANN, what defines global public interest is the results of those processes, and the actors have to trust that the results of the process is in the global interest, and only if the process is transparent. So I would like to share this opinion, as we do not want to go ahead and try to define this public interest, but just look into the quality of the process. And lastly, in the debate about the ethic questions and the code of conduct, etc., we are all facing a fundamental problem with ICANN in particular. One of the multi-stakeholder model is to have everyone participate in every process, not only in workshop, but during the on the board, all the people from the community and business. It is one of the basis of that model, multi-stakeholder model. The problem that we have, especially on the board, if we go from the fact that the people from the community of the business are present on the board, and we can put together a revolving door system, we get into a contradiction, because we could be on the board while we work in business with a conflict of interest, but when we leave, we cannot work in the business that we were working with while we were on the board. This becomes complicated. My question is difficult, because it would mean a very important change. Should we push the logic all the way, define the independence of the board, and consider, like for national mediators, actors that have a function of mediators, the board members are completely independent, should leave their previous jobs and be paid accordingly and have a revolving door afterwards. I'm asking the question because the answer is very difficult. It would make a very important change. It would represent a different relation between the board and the rest of the community. And I'm asking this question because we need to ask. I would like to have a feedback on this option and the difficulties or the advantages of this that this option would have.
Because we're short of time again, we can chew on this tomorrow at lunchtime. I suggest.
Oh.
Ray will be chewing on food, for the record. Right. Jean-Jacques, wish to say a few more words?
Yes, just a few words to expand on what Bertrand mentioned just now. I think this is very important. ICANN still has in its DNA a large part of the pioneer spirit, and not all the procedures and mechanisms are those of a large worldwide corporation. So I think one of the challenges is going from here to there. And in that sense, I think that we should underline and insist on the process, as you suggested, as much as on the definition. I think that definition is not required because it shifts from one place to another. But the process is very important. And I would like to place this in a wider context, which is un-ICANN and un-internet. I mean, even outside of that, the wider scope is what is happening in the world. What's happening with the Occupy Wall Street and all that? It's that there is a prise de conscience, a realization of the limits, in fact, of the failure of self-regulation. That is the real point. And we, however limited and technical the remit of ICANN is today, I think it is our duty, both the board and all of us, to define something, a mechanism and procedures, which will allow us to go beyond the failure of self-regulation. Sorry? Oh, yeah. Well, thanks.
Thank you very much, Jean-Jacques. And with only 5 minutes remaining into our meeting, let's move to the next agenda item, which is the ATRT Phase 2 implementation, starting with the ALAC board communication protocols. And from what Ray and Katim said earlier, it looks as though communication isn't that great yet, certainly on setting an agenda that we can do in 1 hour. For the record, we did have a discussion taking place, but only got an agenda from the board 2 days ago. I'm not sure when the board had decided to have the agenda. What I do suggest is that, just as an answer, actually, to the 2A ALAC board communication protocols, in setting an agenda, the board takes one champion for that agenda to liaise with the ALAC. This is what we have done with the GAC, and which is our next meeting, and we've got 3 points to discuss, which is a lot easier to discuss in 20 minutes for each point. So I think this one we can put to the side since we have answered 2A. And so we'll just move for the last 5 minutes of this discussion with the board view on handling pressure to reform. And you will have noticed that a piece of paper has landed magically on your table with an article from The Economist entitled The Plaything of Powerful Nations. If we can have the link put into the Adobe Connect room. It's done? Fantastic. And for this, shall I just... Evan, do you wish to... okay, so Evan. Evan, maybe.
Hi there, and thanks for the opportunity. When I read this article that was written by The Economist at the end of the recently concluded IGF, the bottom two paragraphs in the article caught my specific attention. And this is, of course, The Economist being a somewhat dispassionate but influential media organ, essentially talking about challenges that ICANN faces going forward. And I'll call attention to a couple of sentences here and just ask for some board input on how you react to reading these things. Specifically, If even ICANN cannot command the respect of its stakeholders, the entire multi-stakeholder model may be in danger. That is why the American government, long an ardent defender of the model, is expected to put a lot of pressure on ICANN to change its ways when a decision is taken next year whether the group should remain in charge of running the physical infrastructure of the Internet address system. Skip to the next paragraph. Yet some experts argue that ICANN, and thus the multi-stakeholder model itself, can firmly establish itself only when it is underpinned by a proper constitution, complete with a Bill of Rights for stakeholders and a separate board of review. And I will leave it at that and just ask for some input from board members on what you think about that kind of comment.
Thank you very much, Evan. And Just please note, board members, that At Large has had no input into that article, for the record.
Thank you.
Comments, responses? Steve?
I'm looking around to see if any of my colleagues on the board are bold enough to jump into this. Aha. Uh-huh. So, Katim and Thomas. Oh, and Judith, who's so eager to join.
can I have her
yeah.
first? Judith, do something about the gender equity at this table, will you? Judith, do something at the gender equity. Sit here.
Steve, Thomas was first. And Ray. But you haven't tried to control Judith yet. This is hard.
We have to accept that, yes, it's time for change, not just the board. We have to respond to the community that is on the internet, 2 billion, and there are 4 billion to go. How do we, as ICANN, respond to the 4 billion coming in? And I speak as a nation.
Where
2 billion
thank you.
Are coming from. Thank you.
Thank you. Katim, Thomas, and Ray, and then I think we're out of time, if not before.
Yeah, thanks. I think this is a very interesting article. I mean, this is a very interesting article. And for me, it's just like the famous saying from Pogo, we've found the enemy and the enemy is us. I have always been harping at the notion of this issue being an existential threat to ICANN, and I don't think I could have come with an even greater reason or evidence of this than this article here. The sentiment is there, and I think it has to be addressed. And as I just all the time also keep saying, let's not do this from a perspective of philanthropy or to make ourselves feel good, but because it will be in the best interest and long-term sustainability of the organization. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thomas, quickly.
Yeah, the only thing I was going to really say is, as we all know, be careful about the press. Because the press, they like to quote, they like to highlight controversy, and in the name of quote-unquote balance, they like to give quote-unquote both sides of the view. And a lot of times they will quote people that have sort of an extreme view and raise that as the middle ground. So, as you go out and talk to people about ICANN, be sure that you if you believe strongly in the model and you think ICANN works mostly and needs fixing around the edges, make sure you communicate that point at the same time as you focus on the part that you're, currently worried about.
Thank you. Ray?
Thank you. A couple key phrases in here. One is proper consultation. The second one is the Bill of Rights. And the third is the Board of Review. Proper consultation is something we're trying to do right here. Okay, so it is something that's underway. As you all are aware, in the earlier part of this year, we were striving to work out how we do proper consultation with the GAC. So it is a problem that we recognize. We all recognize it, and we are all trying and striving to fix it. So when someone says yes, we'll say, yes, that's one of our principles. That's what we're trying to do. That's what we're trying to perfect. So this is one of the edges that Thomas is talking about. Bill of Rights to stakeholders, yes, we agree there needs to be something there. We don't know exactly how to say it and so forth. The very existence of the at-large community and the ALAC speaks to that. Okay, we know that we have to do that, and we are trying to find the best way of doing that. The fact that the at-large has got a person on the board who they put there, who's not representative of the ALAC like none of the rest of us board members are, but the fact from a diversity standpoint, the different sources of putting people on the board, this is a recognition of the fact that we have to work in this area. The last one, the Board of Review or Supreme Court, one of the things that could help that along is for the processes in the supporting organizations to become much more stronger and much more independent, so the board itself does a lot more review, and the board is not immersed in the merit discussions of various policies. So there's a lot of work to be done there. But there's also, we do have sir, not an independent board review, but we do have the existence of an ombudsman. Okay, and we have the reconsideration process. So we have a number of these things. So going back to what Thomas said, if this author of this article had done a little research, he probably could have made this a much more broader article just by pointing out some of those things that are there, as opposed to saying there's a need to have it as it doesn't exist. So the last thought I would have to say is that ICANN, like any other multicultural organization or multicultural society or so forth, has got a problem. And ICANN is very quick to adopt ideas. ICANN is very slow to assimilate ideas. Multicultural organizations, multicultural nations exist only when they use their commonalities as a firm basis and then use their differences to build their strengths. And so I think that's where we have to work towards.
That's an excellent note to bring this to a close. And thank you very much, Ray. I'm impressed with your eloquence. We're out of time, and so I think we need to... let me thank you on behalf of the ICANN board. As I said at the opening, we came primarily to listen. I think you've provided plenty for us to chew on as we've been talking. And we will have a full meal. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Steve. And we look forward to continuing this discussion tomorrow. So thank you, and thank you all.